Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Danny Whetstone. It was presented in March of 2004. The title to the message, Whosoever and They.
Romans chapter number 10, beginning in verse 9. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to note that the sinner is sought, whosoever. I believe that we can go to any man, woman, boy, or girl, and say to them, Jesus Christ died to save you from your sins. And if you will trust Him, He will save you, and we will be telling the truth. The sinner is sought. I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy, the Holy Spirit came to a little out-of-the-way fishing village in the northern part of Florida, and convicted me of my sins and convinced me that if I did not trust Christ, I would die without Him and go to a Christless eternity. The sinner is sought. The supplication is simple. Whosoever shall call. I think my dad did not get saved for two reasons until he was 59 years old. For one, he didn't get saved because no one ever witnessed to him. Everyone had concluded that he wasn't going to get saved anyway. Why waste the time? And so he was never witnessed to. The second thing, I think, is that my dad tripped over the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems to be the nature of man to want to add something to what God has already accomplished. Thirdly, the Savior is sufficient. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he is sufficient. Some want to add to what the Lord Jesus has done, baptism. Some want to add church membership. Some want to add an ecstatic experience. But doesn't that somehow cheapen what Christ has accomplished? To say that there's anything on this earth that I could do that would equal what Christ has already done. No, you can't add anything to the gift of God. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I could say to you tonight, I have a Bible here for you, and I'll sell it to you for $5. Now, I won't, but I could say I would. I'll sell you this Bible for $5. That'd be cheap. It'd be very cheap. But it wouldn't be a gift. The only way that this could possibly be a gift from me to you is if I said, this is yours. I give it to you freely. And that's what Jesus Christ did for me. He offered to me salvation freely as a gift from Himself. So the sinner is sought. The supplication is simple. The Savior is sufficient. And the salvation is sure. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, but shall be saved. And I can say to you, on the authority of God's eternal word, I am saved by the grace of God. If I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. You say, well, Brother Whetstone, what if you live a few years and you disobey the Lord? Well, I might go to heaven a little earlier than I thought, but I'm going to heaven when I die. The salvation I have in Jesus Christ is absolute and certain. There are those that would say, yes, but you really can't know for sure until you die. Excuse me, it's a little too late then. I need something I can know now. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I'm not going to become a son of God. I am a son of God by birth through the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that, don't you? Here's the disheartening part of it. Everyone on earth, in Bible terms, is a whosoever, and therefore with the potential of becoming a believer. But what if not everyone in the world knows that? Then of what value is there in being a whosoever? Notice this in chapter 10 and verse 13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You see, we can very smugly sit in this room tonight, having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and say, the whole world is a whosoever. But I say to you, that's of very little value if they don't know it. Because not only are there whosoevers in the world, but there's another family called they. And you could go to multitudes of them tonight and say, do you realize that you're a whosoever? And they might respond to you, oh no, we're from the they family. No man cares for our soul. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? In India, there are the Jawadi Hills, some 1,700 villages, 1,700 villages. Over 1,600 of those villages have never had the gospel preached in them even one time. Moffat told David Livingstone not to settle in the south of Africa, but to press toward the north, he said, where in the early morning I have seen the smoke rise from 1,000 villages where the name of Christ has never been mentioned. There, sir, is your mission field, Moffat told Livingstone. Do you know the shame of it? That tomorrow morning the smoke will rise still from thousands of villages across Africa where the gospel of Jesus Christ has not been preached. Multitudes today around the world took loved ones and friends outside of the village and dug a hole and buried them like you might bury a dog or a cat with absolutely no hope of eternity. They're just theys. Who really cares? Let me ask you something. Isn't it extremely comfortable to be sitting in the seat of a whosoever? And even more comfortable to be sitting in the seat of one who has passed from whosoever to being a believer. But let me ask you this. What if we were they? And what if we tonight sat in darkness? What if we tonight had no light? And did not even know enough to pray that someone might bring us this light to break through the darkness of our heart? If we were the recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would be most grateful for the whosoevers that became believers if they indeed cared for theys. How do we do it? How do we bridge the gap from they to whosoever? Because one thing is certain, we'll never bridge the gap from whosoever to believer until, first of all, We bridge the gap from they to whosoever. To say to a lost and dying, oh, you could go anywhere in the world today and preach the gospel to a village or a town or a city of people where they are unconverted. Some would be saved, but we know very well that multitudes of them would not be. But don't they at least deserve the opportunity to say no to Jesus Christ one time? And before a field is sown with seed time and time and time and time and time again, doesn't every field deserve at least one planting? Doesn't every man deserve at least one opportunity to say yes or no to Jesus Christ? Well, how are we going to do it? Look at it again. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I was standing on a little black and white checkered sidewalk just outside of a coffee shop in Lisbon, Portugal in November 1984. And God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart from this passage of Scripture. And He said, everyone should have a preacher. And I say to you, everyone should have a preacher. Everyone should have someone who would tell them the truth about eternity. And at least pass out a gospel tract and say God loves you. He would save you if you'd trust Him. What do we need this evening? We need some proclaimers. We need some preachers. We need some who will dedicate their lives to go to regions beyond us and share the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go, tell this people, hear ye indeed, and understand not, see ye indeed, and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away. Isaiah, has God been speaking? Or have you just not been listening? Here's an amazing thing that happened in Isaiah chapter 6. As soon as Isaiah's sins were confessed and forgiven, his ears were opened. And he could hear the voice of God. And God spoke to Isaiah, and he said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Had God not been talking? I think he had been. I think Isaiah hadn't been listening. Would you attempt to convince me tonight that there are billions of people in the world who have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God is not talking about it? No, God is talking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how long he was supposed to go. He just signed a blank contract with God and said, "God, fill the rest of my life in however you please." And God said, "Go." Isaiah said, "This is great. This is great." He said, "How many thousands will we see saved this first year?" God said, "Isaiah, we'll see no thousands saved this first year." I can live with that. "How many hundreds will we see saved this first year?" Well, the truth is, Isaiah, there'll not be any hundreds saved this first year. "Okay, Lord, I can settle for tens." He said, "The truth is, Isaiah, they're going to close their eyes, they're going to close their ears, they're going to harden their hearts, stiffen their necks, and they're not going to pay any attention to anything you have to say." He said, "Okay, I can live with that. How long?" "Can I go out and tell them, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, and come back and you'll give me something else to do?" And the Lord said, "No, you go until there's no man to tell." You see, the response of the world has nothing to do with the responsibility of the Christian. The response of the world has nothing to do with the responsibility of the Christian. It's our duty to take them the gospel, whether they respond or not. What do we need? We need some preachers. We need some of you young folks and you young adults, while you're planning out your life, we need for you to at least entertain the possibility that God might use you to take the gospel to regions beyond. He said, "Well, he's not going to call everyone. If we all went to the mission field, there wouldn't be anyone left to send us. In 2,000 years, we haven't had that problem. I don't expect we're going to have it tomorrow. How can we bridge the gap from they to whosoever? We need preachers." Look at it again, verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Not only do we need preachers, we need senders. We need those who will hold the ropes of those that descend into the pit. We need believers at home that see their duty to send the gospel as sacred as those who see the need to take the gospel. How are we going to do that? Well, we start with the tithe. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." That's the beginning place for every born-again child of God. That's the starting place. Don't have to pray about the tithe. Only have to be obedient to doing it. But that isn't the only way to give. Mark 12:41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Two kinds of giving. One, sacrificial. This little lady, she came and gave a sacrificial gift to the Lord. And by the way, there are folks who say, "You know, will not talk about money because God's not interested in money. Is Jesus God? It's not a trick question. Is Jesus God? Oh, yeah. I had a Jehovah's false witness come to my house one day. And as soon as I opened the door, I knew who he was. And so I said, "What think ye of Christ?" He said, "I believe he's the Son of God." I said, "Do you believe he's God?" He said, "I believe he's the Son of God." I said, "Yeah, but do you believe he's God?" He said, "I believe the Bible teaches that he's the Son of God." I said, "Well, let me ask you another question. Are you capable of a yes or no answer?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, let's go back to the first question. Is Jesus Christ God?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, what about John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I said, "What about Hebrews 1, where God the Father speaking to God the Son says, 'Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever'?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "I suggest you go home and find out." Had a couple of fellas come by my house. I was in Greenville, Tennessee. And they each of them had shirt on, looked real nice, and had this tag on. Said, "Elder so-and-so." Well, I knew one of them was. I could look at him and tell he was elder. But the other one looked awfully young to me. They said, "Could we speak with you?" And I said, "Okay." So I stepped outside because John said, "Don't let him in the house." So I stepped outside and we chatted for just a moment. We talked about two things. We talked about hell and we talked about Christ. And finally, the elder of the elders looked at me and he said, "Mr. Whetstone, you do know that one of us is wrong." I said, "I know more than that. I know which one it is." Amen. Jesus is God. I mean, there's just no getting around it. As sure as the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus Christ is God. Well, if God's not interested in money, what was he doing sitting over against that treasury? Watching those folk. He said, "Peter, get James, John, come here. We'll show you something." I came over. He said, "See that little woman go in there?" He said, "She gave more than all those rich fellows." Well, you know Simon Peter had to say, "You don't mean it." "Oh, yeah." He said, "Now, she didn't give more in amount, but proportionately she gave more. Because when she had finished giving, there was nothing left. When they gave, they had an abundance left." That's interesting too, because the Lord not only knows what we give, he knows what we have left over. It's a sacrificial gift. Also in that passage is a gift of abundance. Do you know the Lord really wasn't saying that the wealthy who had given less proportionately than she had given had done anything wrong? He was simply making a comparison. He was saying, here is a little woman who had very little to give, but she gave all of it. And here are some folks who had an abundance, and they gave a portion of it. That's okay. If you've been frugal, if you've been careful with the things that God has brought across your path, and you've laid up in store, that's okay. But you might want to consider what God would have you to do out of your abundance to help get the gospel to regions beyond. You might want to consider what God might want you to give out of sacrifice to get the gospel to regions beyond. And then, of course, there's faith giving. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." So we give the tithe. That's a given. That goes to the Lord. But besides that, We can pray about giving sacrificial offerings. We can pray about giving offerings out of our abundance. And we can pray about giving offerings that are grace offerings or faith offerings. But somehow, we ought to give. And we ought to see our giving as sacred before God as those that are going. And we ought to commit ourselves to it as faithfully as we hope they will commit their lives to take the gospel to regions beyond. How are we going to bridge the gap from they to whosoever? Whoopee, Brother Whetstone, the whole world is a whosoever, but it's of no value if you don't know it. Multitudes of them died and went to a devil's hell today without knowing it. And we are the people who can do something about that by the grace of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Will you sincerely ask the God of heaven what he would have you to do in this matter of going and giving? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you would give us so many opportunities to serve you. We can go, we can give, we can pray, we can go and give and pray. I want to thank you tonight. From just a lad, I heard the gospel. And I have walked among those who have never and some seldom heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, they're precious people. And they're going to live forever somewhere. And we could make a difference.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Whosoever and They by Evangelist Danny Whetstone. It was originally presented in March of 2004 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.